in John 10, and then I think I want to take you to Isaiah 35, and then I think we'll release the works of Jesus, and we'll bring Larry up in the School of Evangelists. I'm excited about something that's been opening up, been a journey forever, but there's a door that's opened now. And I think it literally is a door you can choose to walk through and take advantage of, called the door of intimacy. There is an intimacy with God that is being made known to everyone in this room. In fact, when Gregory closed with the wonder of God at the last service, he said, ask the Lord what he wants to do with you today, or what he wants you to do today. And my mind, I closed my eyes, and my mind immediately kind of went over my day. I'm going to go home, have lunch with my mom. I'm going to mow the lawn. And I hadn't got that, you know, steps out. And the Lord said, I want you to delight in me. And I knew exactly what he meant with that. It meant, you know, you mow the lawn, I want you to just delight in me while you do it. You know, I want you to delight in me with your mom. I want you to delight in me with what it, you know. There is a, I don't like to say a parallel universe, but there's a parallel kingdom that we're living in. And we go in and out of that kingdom. And we have to, a lot of times our concrete thinking, and materialistic thinking is that either we're in the kingdom of God or we're in the kingdom of darkness. Once we got out of the kingdom of darkness, we're in the kingdom of light. So now, therefore, none of that can be there. So then we go into crises every time darkness touches us. And we go, how did that happen? You know, as though we were exempt from hell. Now hell is chasing us even more because we are carrying light and life, and we have access to heaven, and we carry the seed of Christ. And he doesn't know which one of you are going to mature first. And when the harvest takes place, he has no way to control it. When the outpouring breaks out, he has no way to stop it. So he has to try to crush us in the early stages of our journey. And so he puts all of that stuff over us. So the door of intimacy is a door, and we're going to open it. It's literally open to everyone. I mean, this delight, this coming in, encountering him, is so available. And that's, I want you to enter in. We're going to do an internship called the Father's Heart of God for our 20 and 30-year-olds, because there is just a special equipping that God wants to give this generation to walk in that David anointing, King David, where you can walk in the kind of intimacy that he carried, so the giants that we have to face are not giants that we see. We just see them as breaking covenant and a God who keeps us in covenant, and we walk in a fellowship. If you've ever said in your heart, if you've ever heard the Lord say, seek my face, not everybody hears that. It's an honor to hear it. When you hear it, respond with, your face I will seek. And if you've ever started that journey, there's fresh manna and fresh hope and fresh strength coming into the body to reinvigorate that journey. So either you can join us in that internship or just step in. We are in the Song of Solomon, and we're getting closer to chapter 8 than we were to chapter 1. Hallelujah. Chapter 8's a lot better than chapter 1. The romance begins, but when it comes into consummation and maturity, oh, there we are leaning on our beloved. There we are, one who's found peace. When you found peace in his eyes, you know that all things are resolved and you are unstoppable. Dead men walking in life. And that's what's happening, and that's the journey we're in. And sorry, here's the good news. Jesus said in John 10, most assuredly, verse 7, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now, it says that we enter in and out through Jesus. The door that allows us into the kingdom of light that ends us, we walk in the world that we live in. Not every place you get to go to is exuding light, right? Workplace, homes, neighborhoods, trauma, struggles. It's not all full of light. And yet you are a carrier of the sun. You are a son of light. And we can retreat. We can enter in to an uninterrupted place of light and love and victory when we enter into God. When we take that moment to pause and separate ourselves. And that's why I pray. I don't really pray. I was driving home from the hospital the other day, and the Lord brought this to my mind. He said, this is what came up in my mind. He said, I do not believe God because he answers my prayers. I believe God because he is the answer to my prayers. He is the answer. Once you meet him, and even that's what Jesus said, you know how to give fish when your children ask for fish. You know how to give bread when they ask for bread. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So first and foremost, whenever I pray, I used to pray for answers. I don't pray for answers anymore. I pray for Jesus, to encounter him, to walk through the door, to have him just bring my thoughts back into design and divine order, into redemption. You know, anybody can wreck a life, but only Jesus can redeem it. Anybody can bring destruction. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but there is only one door that leads to life. So it's not going to be difficult for any of us to find destruction, finding a way to access. But in destruction, Jesus is the way to life. He's the way to life. In the kingdom of light is life. In the kingdom of darkness is death. In the kingdom of life is love. In the kingdom of darkness is fear. In the kingdom of light is faith. In the kingdom of darkness is lust. In the kingdom of life is long-suffering. In the kingdom of darkness is impatience and murder. And on and on and on and on. So if we take a moment, anytime, we can take inventory and we can determine who's ruling me, who's controlling me, what am I? Now here's the problem. In the kingdom of life is the cross. In the kingdom of darkness is control. When God looks to the earth to redeem the earth, he says, I will redeem the earth through the cross. When you and I look through the earth, through the flesh or the eyes of religion, we say we'll redeem the earth through control. Control will never bring life. It just restrains evil at best. But often it's actually so rooted in fear that it perverts life. It ruins things. And so the world is going to get into a massive amount of control in the near future, to the point one day you won't be able to buy anything unless you have a mark on your head or your hand. You won't be able to do anything. You'll be so systemized that you'll be totally controlled. And we'll have peace. But it won't be peace. It will be control. Do you follow me, the difference? And that's where the earth is headed. Now, on the flip side, we are learning to live in total peace in the midst of chaos. And chaos is much of the training as the peace. In Romans 5, on the way to Isaiah 35, if we get there, therefore, verse 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's the whole spectrum of our journey. I begin faith in Jesus Christ immediately when I believe in what he has accomplished, that he died for my sins, was raised from the dead, that he has ascended on high, that he sent gifts unto men, that he's interceding, that he is my Lord. I confess him with my mouth. I believe in my heart. Immediately, peace. There's an assurance. I'm right. I'm okay. I'm justified. And it brings peace. Have by faith, justified, we have peace with God. Not only that, though, now opens a door of grace. We have access into this grace where we stand. And this is a world you have yet to explore fully. I know for me, I'm barely a few miles in to what would be an uncharted territory of grace. Now, grace is the fruit of, it's the opposite of law. It's back there in that laying down your life instead of the cross, instead of control. So it's kind of a scary place. Love of God is the most terrifying thing you'll ever encounter on the earth because it challenges fear. And the fear that's resident in us will be terrified by the love of God. So it's really hard because it shakes all the shakeable stuff. And so, oh. Now, if you notice, Jesus said, I'm the door, and I've opened the door for men to come into the sheepfold. And then he tells us, unfortunately, how the door gets opened is he dies. Now, guess what? We're going to be doors into the earth so that many can come into the kingdom. Unfortunately, the way the door opens is you die. I die, we die. And that death can be long and hard and miserable. It can be short. It can reoccur. We can lose our place. But we have to understand God is super committed to saving the earth and redeeming humanity. So he opens his door. He says, now you believed in my son. Now here comes the peace. Not only that, through my son, you can enter into this grace in which you stand. And not only that, you are rejoicing every day with an expectancy of a hope of the glory that's yet to come. You know, I can live there. If I could sequester myself, find a place that I could live just there, I would choose to do so. But unfortunately, verse 3 follows. And not only that, there's more. We also glory in pressure. Or boast. It's not the same glory that's coming. This is a boasting. I'm excited about the pressure I'm in. Tell your neighbor, I'm excited about the pressure I'm in. I can't stand it. I'm excited about the pressure I'm in. You see why you got to have joy. This is the part we got to get drunk to stay, you know, happy about this stuff. I'm excited about the pressure. Why are you excited about the pressure? Because the pressure is going to force perseverance. Oh, and you know what perseverance is? It's the worst kind. It's the endurance with joy. I mean, I can endure, but do I have to be happy about it? Seriously, I mean, why do I have to be happy? I can be a miserable saint for Christ, bitter and angry and frustrated at the way things are. No, I'm supposed to be happy. Oh, tell your neighbor, I'm happy while I endure. I found my happy place, a happy meal. I'm happy. Guess what? I'm in pressure and I'm happy. Yeah. Count it all joy. Oh, I'm counting it joy. More trials, more joy. More trials, more joy. Bring me more joy. Bring me more trials. Yeah, right. That doesn't sound like the world we usually live in, right? You know, little, we get moments in there, but it just... The pressure comes and we retreat and find control, and next thing you know, religion is our friend. But religion is not your friend. It will make you into a raisin. Turn you into a prune. Dry the fruit up. Just you ever met a religious believer? You know, they were a fruit once and now they're a raisin. It's like they're barely squinting through their eye. There was life in there somewhere. There's light somewhere. I know I've been there. You know, you're so holy that you make yourself sick. But it, not only do I my pressure, I'm excited, I'm boasting about my pressure because it's causing me to stay in a happy state, but it also is building in me character or assurance to being tested multiple times. Wow, isn't that great? I am growing and being tested. Tell your neighbor, I'm growing and being tested. I've been tested many times. Good news in the kingdom, you only pass the test when you failed it long enough. When you no longer think you can do what you said you would do, I can be who I said I would be, I will accomplish what I said I'd accomplish. When you finally are convinced that you cannot do anything except Christ gives you the ability, and you don't rise up to the occasion to prove that you are the Son of God and turn the rock into bread, or jump off the temple to make God move, when you finally have yielded to the testing, which is meant to teach you, you are not the one. Are you the one? No, you're not the one. We're not waiting for you. God's not waiting for us. He's just joyfully moving, expectant of what he's about to do. And we're just fumbling and struggling, going, oh, I can't believe I failed. When you go through a character failure, when you go through an experience where you believe you could be and find that you cannot be, and it makes you sad and grieved and mad, that is the last vestige of pride starting to die. It's all pride to think you could be what you cannot be, to think you could do the Bible. Trust me, I thought I could do the Bible. Remember, I used to do leadership meetings on Super Bowl Sunday. I was hardcore. So I'm teaching from experience. But this testing after testing after testing after testing starts opening a door of hope. And before you know it, we see that on the other side of life that we know, there is life that we have yet to touch. There is an experience of God that is more real than the experience that we're accustomed to. You know, a lot of us are going to go home and, you know, watch the World Cup. And we're going to turn on a big screen TV or your iPad, and you're going to watch a bunch of men run around the field kicking a ball in another country and another continent. And you're not going to think anything of it. You're not going to be sitting there going, I wonder if that's real. I mean, how do I know that what I'm seeing on that screen is really real? No, you've had so much experience in media that we're assured that what we're seeing is real time, is actual footage, is imagery that we can trust. Well, it's the same is available as believers to step inside a realm that's more real than Brazil, more true than all of the things we've experienced this life, and step in there and go, oh, wow, it is real. He is good. He does love me. He cares for me. I am precious. I have destiny. I have purpose. I am a delight in his eyes. He is my beloved. And the more of that imagery that we carry, or vision that we experience, or experiences that affect us, and we become persuaded by them, then we literally change the world. But the conflict is the fear. The conflict is the death process to come to that spot. It's hideous, because the devil is telling you, if you are to be a success as a believer, you need to show this, 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 and this, and this. And they're all externals. You watch it. They're all externals. You need to have this much money in the bank. You need to have this kind of a marriage, this kind of children, this kind of business, this kind of success. You need to be this kind of a, citizen. And although all of that is a fruit of relationship, it is not proof of relationship. It's not proof. That some of the greatest servants of the Most High will be suffer the greatest in the king in the earth. And if you do not have a discerning eye, you won't even notice it. You'll think, ha ha, you know, who sinned, this man or his mom? You just won't even see that the glory of God is about to be revealed in the life. And some of us are just right there. And Isaiah 35 is a picture of the ransomed of the Lord and the redeemed of the Lord returning. And we're going to, during Sukkot, which is in October this year, the Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to gather under that highway, Highway 35. And I have a sense in me that we are, all of us, on that highway toward the Lord now. We get up above the life that we've been living in, and we begin to see transformation of things we have learned to submit to. In our barrenness, we become fruitful. In our desert, waters begin to break forth. In our blindness, all of a sudden we see. In our deafness, we can start to hear. In our lameness, we start to leap. In our dumbness and inability to speak, we begin to sing. Things that you gave up on now begin to spring forth in you. Blossoming, beauty, the wilderness, the wastelands, it becomes glorious. Now here's the good news. Everybody who gets on the highway of holiness, as it's called, are ransomed. That means everyone got in trouble since they became found, since they were redeemed. They got in a situation to which God had to liberate them. What kind of a God, and here I'm going to close, but listen, what kind of a God sends his deliverers into captivity to deliver those in captivity? What kind of a God sends you before the fact through the prison system to rule a nation? What kind of a God sends his son to die in the place of others so that others can be in his place? The God we serve. And you and I have been ushered into the same journey. You may not understand it now. You may not even recognize it. Because while you're in it, you can't see it. All you can see is personal failure, others' failures, betrayal, losses. And if you stay fixed on those things, as the Apostle Paul said, they bring death. But as you learn not to look at all the things that are seen, but to look at the thing not seen, then we begin to receive glory. Because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. What kind of a God would set you on a journey like that and not tell you? What kind of a God, seriously, not tell you? What kind of a God would brag about you to the devil and then let the devil touch you? And then when you're messed up in your concepts of what's going on and your friends are not helping you and your name is Job, and he finally releases Job from his own captivity of self-righteousness, would restore double, do all of the wonders, but would never even tell Job, oh, by the way, that was the devil that did that to you. What kind of a God seems to think he's the boss of everything? The glorious, majestic, supernatural God. What kind of a God doesn't think anything in your life could have ever escaped his hand and his permission and his redemption? Anybody can wreck a life, but only Jesus can redeem a life. And anybody can protect themselves from being touched by death, but only God can liberate us once touched by death. You're on a journey. Here's the truth. The journey is Jesus, and the destination's Father. Everything else, details. Seriously, 50 years from now, most of us will have breathed our last breath. And I promise you, nothing that you have encountered will you bring with you. Nothing that you possess will you be able to transfer unless you gave it away or forgave it earlier. There's nothing of this earth other than a dressing room to learn this glorious Savior, this joyful liberator. And that's why when he brings you out of prison, like Joseph, you go, hey, I'm settled. Send me back to prison. It's not going to change anything about me now. And I'm not going to go anywhere, and God will give you the answer of peace, because I'm at peace. Or Jesus, when he's resurrected, he's never from that point on, do you read in Scripture, please pray, because the earth situations are in turmoil. And if they go too far, my redemption won't be able to reach there. He is this ever-confident God in us. And he's sending us out as sheep for slaughter, as lambs amongst the wolves, to lay down our life in order to let life come forth. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a dynamic that's quickly going to become a paradigm for all of us. And once you enter it and can stay in and out and stay longer, you begin to go, whoa, this is supernatural strategy. Heaven is actually ordained a plan to redeem masses of people. And it's my life. It's your life. Just the way you're living it. Just the way you're stuck in it. Just the craziness of what's going on. Just find Jesus. When I get up in the morning, I don't know how I might feel, but I know one thing. If I find Jesus, I'll feel okay. I may not know what I'm going to do with what I got to do and what I ought to do with what I got to do, but if I just find Jesus, I'll be okay. And if I walk through the door that he opened up through me and I step in for my Father and I sit in his presence, before long, all things will recalibrate back into the divine order of the moment. But I've also learned I can't take tomorrow, I can't get the grace for tomorrow today. And I've had to learn what the Apostle Paul said, the one thing he learned in his journey. You begin with the one thing to seek his face. You end, as an elderly Apostle Paul, with the one thing to forget everything behind you. It's just as important to let go as it is to reach forward. You can't reach if you're still holding on. So there's a door of freedom. That's why the word of forgiveness becomes the most powerful word we carry. I close with this and then bring Larry up. I was taught on, we lived 1 Corinthians 13 last week. Love is. Right? So you start meditating in it and you're living in it. And I remember next, I think it was Monday, by the mid-morning, I was totally out of it. I was so behaving badly in my mind. I thought, man, I am not suffering long, and I am certainly not being kind right now. And if I could, I would parade all over the place and make a scene. I feel like I'm doing it inside my emotions, and I'm puffed up, and I'm angry, and I'm seeking my own, and I want a piece of quiet and just stuff growing. And I go, oh, Dad. And then I'm sitting out there talking to the Father. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I can choose love, but I can't remain in love. What do I do? And he said, let it all go. Drop it all. Let it go. And I realized, okay, once again, my poor behavior, my bad choices, other people's poor behavior, their bad choices, my feelings of this, my expectations of that, my dread of this, my emotions. And then whenever you hit an experience, you all know, it opens the bank of experiences like those, which means my bad decision, my bad, poor behavior is a result of the bad decision I made yesterday, which was a result of the one I made the day before, which when I was 12, I made. So you go like, where in the world does all this stuff come from? I mean, I just like a boom. Drop it. Let it go. Walk away from it. That's all he said. Just walk away from it. That's what we learn to do as believers. We just learn to walk away from yesterday every day. Just walk away from it. Start a new day. Have a new thought. Live a new life. Don't resolve it. Just walk away. Most of the things we're waiting to resolve will not resolve by design. Okay? Because if it were resolvable by design, we wouldn't have needed Jesus, just the law. Most things are not resolvable. So you have to learn the skill of forgetting, letting go. And you do, and you will, and you will carry life. Everybody gets all excited about Jerusalem Jan. If you understood the backstory of this lady and the massive control she lived under for many, many years, you would think, how could that person be this person? Exactly. Exactly. The greater the captivity, the greater freedom you'll bring. The greater death, the greater life you'll bring. The greater destruction. It's just the dynamic of the kingdom. So Larry, come on up, because I believe, oh, I don't know how God is so good. He brings us in through the taste of the future, and then he sets us on a journey that we may or may not understand. But in the end, you will bring many, 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 many people into the kingdom. And this is why we're celebrating the year of evangelists. This is why Jesus said it's time for liberty teams. This is why Highway 35 is going to highlight. And this is why we're here. And Larry has been, and his girls have been, into an incredible test. No one would ever want to walk through. But every one of them, I've just said, Lord, we're here before you, and you have your way, and glorify your name, and bring forth your sound. And I've watched the maturity just ramp up, and the life of God flow. And God is good, and Jesus is Lord. Yes. But we want to bring our evangelists forward. We want them then to pray for anyone in this room, for any miracle, anything that you need. And we want to believe God's going to do those things for us.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. The God that Pastor Steve is talking about is Jesus. And he's here because he loves us. It's that simple. That's the bottom line, just right there. Jesus loves me. This I know because this book tells me so. Little ones, to him belong in Christ Jesus. This is a faith statement, different version. In Christ Jesus, they are strong. And no matter what you go through, if you really know Jesus, Jesus will really know you in it. And no matter what happens, you can be strong, not in you, that's a joke, but in him. So like for all the graduates to come, da, 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 right down. Yeah. Oh, good, thank you. I brought my glasses so I could read their name. I memorized, because all these are my friends, praise God. And as I call your name, I want you to come up, and I'll give you your certificate of graduation. And this course was not easy. This course, to finish the course, took faith to come and listen to me for 14 weeks each week. Well, we got another week, we're going to go, and we're going to go another week. And then I named someone, gave nicknames. Paul is Jairus, because, and mark my words, when we get to heaven and Paul meets Jairus, they look like twins. Jairus is a man of faith. He is a man of faith. And I love that guy. He's my personal friend, and Paul is my personal friend, praise God. So the keynote scripture of the school is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, how many people believe in Jesus? That's good. We're on the right track. The works that I do, shall he or she do also. And greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. Verse 13, John 14, verse 12, now 13. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, 14. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever. Did you hear me? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. She'll live and not die. Blood splurting everywhere. On the freeway, 70 miles an hour. Broken glass all over you. She'll live and not die and declare the works of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Can I do it? No way. I can't do it, but Jesus can. I know Jesus. This group knows Jesus. And that's the whole issue of being an evangelist. You've got to know Jesus right up front. You've got to know this amazing Jesus, whose we are and whom we serve. And then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You cannot do all things. You can do all things through Christ alone who strengthens you. And the more you walk this walk, boy, is that the truth. You, as Pastor said, you cannot do this by yourself. You will be consumed with religious zeal and religious bondage, and you'll quit. That's what you'll do. But when you walk with Jesus, you'll be consumed by his presence, consumed by his love, and that love will generate the faith out of you. Marilyn and I have talked about this, Pastor Steve and I have talked about this last week. The love bomb came first. We didn't know that we collectively would have to exercise this kind of faith. Every day expecting a resurrection from a body that's being mechanically kept alive. That's just the facts. Nothing has changed physiologically that we can see from the day this happened 8 days ago. Nothing has changed. We see little signs of blood pressure. We see little signs of intracranial pressure, which you do not want ICP. You do not want that. Zero is best. 100 is, I don't think you can go to 100. Your head will blow apart. But every time it comes down, we rejoice. Stephanie called me one, Dad, it's come down to 0 or to 10 or 16. Yay! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, just a number. It's a big deal to me. Thank you, Jesus. It's a sign. It's a sign. I text Pastor Steve and others to you. Every sign we see is like the little green plant that breaks the ground in springtime. Now, we have experience expecting that plant to become a rose bush or a tomato plant or maybe an oak tree if we wait long enough. That's the natural, the supernatural. When Elijah put his head between his legs, and Steph and I were talking about that last night with her mom. And he began to pray, and Gehazi's servant went 7 times. Finally, he saw the breakthrough in a sky that has no clouds in it. It has not rained for 3.5 years. The breakthrough was a cloud the size of man's hand. That's not a very big cloud. How big? Well, there's my hand. How did you see that cloud over the Mediterranean Sea? I don't know. And Elijah got up and said, that's enough. Go tell Ahab, you better eat, you better get down to Jezreel, because rain is coming. It's coming, and it came. Woo, glory. So resurrection is coming. It is coming. Yeah. It is coming. Yeah. It is here in Jesus' name. I declare it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. Glory to God. Well, it feels good to say something. Wow. Other than to doctors. You know, I've had to preach the gospel to 6 different doctors every time they preach the devil's gospel to me. I am so tired of hearing, now, you know, he sees the blah, 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 blah. And I have to say, well, you know, doctor, I so appreciate what you're doing. But Jesus is raising my wife. She's going to walk out of this room feet first by herself because of Jesus. Well, Mr. Bingman, they never refute that. They never have refuted that. They just go back to what they see. Well, I don't have the luxury of looking at what I see. I had the luxury of looking at Jesus. And I just tell publicly, girls, I am so proud of you. These girls have risen to the occasion of loving their mom so much, they refuse to let her go in spite of what they see. And that's faith activated by love. That's what that is. And I'm proud of you. So I'm going to call the names as they're here. They're not necessarily in alphabetical order. Just come up. I'll hug you. I'll give you your certificate, and then come back down, and then I'm going to come down and pray over each of you very quickly. You've been prayed over like 3 times, but you can't get enough prayer. I mean, you know, praise God. And then I want all of you to stand up, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of declaration towards these people. The scriptural evidence is in Joshua, the 1st chapter, God spoke to Joshua and said, be strong and be of courage. And anything that you, actually I'm mixing up scripture. Anyway, he said, be strong and be of good courage. As I was with Moses, so will I be you with you. And then Joshua 1:8, you shall meditate the word day and night, observing all things, to discern to all things written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Now God spoke that to Joshua, but he said to 1 million people plus what God said to him. And then then they spoke back to him what God has spoken to him. I want you to speak back to them what Jesus has already written about them. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, Larry Hicks. I don't see Larry. He's not here. Okay. Okay. The next one is, Shirley Hicks. She's not here if he's not here. Okay. Alec Hike. I know Alec's here. Glory. Love you, man. Then Dana Herman and Paul. Come, both of you come up. Paul and Dana. And you can take Dana's with you. Thanks, Jairus. I love you.
Love you.
And Catherine Hike. Yay, Catherine. We love her. Mighty man, woman of faith. Loving Jesus.
Thank you.
And Richard, come on up, Richard. There's that one, Richard. Richard Baldwin. Yay, Jesus. My bud.
Love you, Rich.
And Faith. Here, someone take it down to Faith. I'll go down to Faith. Here we go. I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the next one on our list is Ken Ellsworth. Brother Ken. And Darren Taylor, Darren and Debbie Taylor. Come on up. We had like six couples that were in this school, which I really appreciated. That's yours, Debbie, and that's yours, Darren. I love you guys.
Praise you, Jesus.
You too. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Carla Stark. Come on, Carla. We love Carla.
Yeah.
She came to every meeting, and she was at the outreach where were we? Oxnard, El Rio, with us. Shirley and Steve Kwan. Are they here today? Okay, they're not. Okay. And we've got Sharon Peterson. I thought I saw Sharon. Yes, there's Sharon. Thank you, Sharon, so much. She's been instilling faith to the kids. Dan Peters, are you here, Dan?
Yep.
There he is, of course. Shirley Powell.
She might be with the children.
Oh, yeah, she's proud of the children's ministry. And Gara Ors. Is she here? Okay. And Tri Wynn. Is Tri here? I used to say it's Nugent, it's Wynn. Because the doctors call this and the in the ICU, I thought.
You might all be in a conference.
Yeah, okay. And Kip, I know Kip's here. He's right down there. Come on, bro. He should have probably been teaching this course.
Love you, man. Thank you so much.
And Yvonne Krause, come on up, Yvonne. I know you're here. You're right there. Dun, da, da, dun, dun, pa, 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 dun. You gotta laugh at this stuff, right? Robbie Knight, come on, Rob. So faithful. Did all the video. Oh, my goodness. Love you, Bubba. Oops, sorry. And Michael and Laura Gefellner. Yay. And I love your artwork, Laura. Thank you, Jesus. And Bev and Tim. Oh, yes, the Fish household. Yes.
There's Bev. There's Tim.
Hey, don't mix it up whenever you do.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Don't get the fish food. Different. Eddie, come on up, Eddie. Thank you, Jesus. He also was out with us in the Oxnard outreach.
Love you, Eddie.
And we are going to Nigeria together, by the way. Yolanda de la Cruz, Benaki, pronto. Thank you so much, Yolanda. And Janice and Mark DeCamp. Yay! Love them.
Ladies first. Mark. Bless you. Love you guys.
Love you too.
And Stuart Craner. I don't see Stuart here. Oh, good. Good. That's the only right answer there is. Carolyn. Oh, my goodness, Carolyn. I personally asked Carolyn to come because I knew she was supposed to come, but she had to hear that from God, and she ran the sound for me all the time, and she played Just Give Me Jesus. The 14 nights, we played it 10 times at least. Right?
Yes, dear. Thank you, Larry.
And you're going to Asia in the mission field, and I fully expect to hear amazing miracles in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. David Castle. David. There you are. Faithful brother. David ran the video when Rob couldn't make it. Carl Beard, Brother Carl. He's out evangelizing. Yvonne Beauvais, I don't see Yvonne, so I think she's up in Seattle right now or somewhere. Chris Bishop, my buddy, Chris Bishop. Hallelujah. And Lumanita Benes. Lumanita, if I was given an award of the most changed, I'd give it to her. Because by trepidation and some faith and hope, she took the course and I watched her changed into a raging faith warrior in Jesus' name. Okay, line up, please. And I'll come down here, lay hands on you, and then all of you are going to rise up, and we're going to declare to them what God. Oh, Pete, I'm sorry, it should have been in there.
Okay. We'll get
you. No, it's not okay. Yes, you need it. Yes. It should be in there. I'm sorry.
You pray.
Oh, we've got it.
I'm sure it's.
Because I put it in there. Anyway.
We'll get
P and B also. Yeah. Yay! So I'll pray for you first. First shall be last, the last shall be first. Jesus' name. I'm going to do this very quick because we need to get through this, and then I want you guys to stand up.
I send you out in Jesus' name to do the work of evangelists, to do the works of Jesus. Go forth with the power and the presence and the very person of Jesus. Go forth in Jesus' name. Debbie, go forth in Jesus' name. I send you out. I anoint you. I send you out to go forth and do the works of Jesus, anointed with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Darren, I send you out in Jesus' name. Go out, go out, go out and do what God has called you to do. Do the works of Jesus. Do the work of an evangelist in Jesus' name. David, I lay hands upon you. You shall lay hands upon the sick. They shall surely recover. You'll cast out demons. You'll raise the dead. You'll cleanse the lepers. I send you out to do the works of Jesus in Jesus' name. Janice and Mark, I'm going to send you out as a couple. Jesus, grab your hands here.
Yes, Lord.
See, that's typical Rob. Yes. He just comes and helps me all the time. I send you out to do the works of Jesus corporately and individually, but particularly corporately. And I declare that the highways and the byways shall be open to you, and you shall do mighty exploits because you trust, believe, and rely on Jesus. He is your breath. He is your life. He is your sustenance. And he holds your very life in his hand. So don't be afraid. Go out and do his work, and you shall see the glory of God before your very eyes. I send you out now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hayeks, I send you guys out. Alex and Catherine, I send you out in Jesus' name. Mighty exploits. It's called payback of what's come against you. This is what's coming for you. And payback is wonderful in the kingdom of God. So I speak prosperity, health, wholeness, healing, restoration, redistribution, and the power and the presence of Jesus to go forth and do his work through you guys in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Whoa.
Praying. Let's just see the picture of what's happening.
Hallelujah.
We have a line of people that we're commissioning to send out as evangelists representing all of our body. Look at the percentage that's growing. Multiple. Let's hold on to this for about five. It'll take about five more minutes, but we do not understand before God what he could do with this. So we want to give permission. Let him multiply this beyond anything we can ever imagine. And we give permission. I mean, what would it take just to touch one person here with a Stephen anointing that begins to declare and move about in the marketplace, healing, delivering, and disputing the wisdom of man? It just, we don't know. So Lord, we just are enjoying this moment. And we corporately as Jubilee say, yes, God, please. This was the word Brian brought for the offering. The harvest is bountiful. The laborers are few. So Lord, we are praying these laborers are thrust forth into the harvest, that they experience remarkable moments of sharing you, of doing the works of Jesus, of healing, delivering. We believe for miracles. And in a minute, Lord, we believe this group let loose will release miracles in this very room. And sickness that people are carrying will be taken off. And pain that has been afflicting will be removed. And confusion that's been binding up will come off. So, Lord, we just stir our faith up as best we can. Lord, we agree with you. We agree that it is your intent to pour out your Spirit on us to cause us to be witnesses for you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So, Lord, thank you, Lord.
My dear friend.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let's just worship him.
Jesus.
Just stay with me for a few moments.
Expect.
We agree, Lord. We agree.
The glory of God.
We agree, Lord.
Christ in you, the hope of glory, will manifest.
We agree, Lord. Let it multiply. Let it increase. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Come out of Lebatera Bobosa. While you're praying, begin to ask the Lord for those you know that you love that are not yet saved, families and friends, people that are workplace or neighborhood. Think of people that are not knowing our Lord and begin to say, Lord, open their eyes to see and their ears to hear. Let's pray for the unsaved, those who have yet to come into faith. Lord, we are just pause and we say, Lord, extend the kingdom to those we love, to those we know, to those we work with, to those who are our enemies, to those who are fighting against us. Extend the kingdom. Extend salvation. Bring salvation, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, you are the one who does all things well. You are the one. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the one. Yeah. Yeah. Step inside. Step inside. I want you to use your imagination and begin to see people groups coming into the kingdom, doors opening, visions being granted, the road to Damascus moments where a man who is mad and intent on killing all of a sudden turns his, encounters light and sees life and begins to go a whole nother direction. Lord God, we believe that in the war of religion that's upon the face of the earth today, that you are going to encounter terrorists on the journey. Wherever they come from, whatever religion they're espousing, we call the light to shine from heaven. We call forth dramatic conversions that would bring people into face-to-face encounters with you, that would bring salvation, forgiveness, inheritance, and callings that would be awakened. And Lord God, we say, quicken to us the heavenly visions you gave us that started us our journey. Right now, lift up your hands. You and I are here in this room probably because we had a Damascus moment. We had a moment where we saw God and we said, I'll follow you. What do you want me to do? And we were told, go this way and begin to go do this. Paul said he continued this course by not being disobedient to the heavenly vision. Means he allowed himself to be persuaded. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to quicken for every one of us our moments of conversion, moments of encounter that shifted our direction to make it brand new again. Heavenly Father, while we are honoring the work of the evangelist, while we are making room for those who are not yet saved to be saved, who've not yet heard the gospel to hear the gospel, we now present ourselves and we ask you in the name of Jesus to reignite, to return to us, to return us to the moments of our repentance and conversion, the moments of our seeing, the moments of encounters, the multiple encounters that have led us to this place in this day. And if we stand in front of King Agrippa with chains on our hand, we want to be able to say the same gospel testimony when we stood before masses and freedom was flowing. So Lord God, look upon us right now, and I say, Holy Spirit, make alive again. Let him do it. Open your eyes and look back to that moment when you met Jesus. And if he takes you to several moments, let them all cascade like a river. If he takes you to a movie where you begin to see events, look at them and let them fill you. Let the moment fill you. Let the sound fill you. The Ephesus church was so schooled in truth that they had lost love. And he said, go return to that. So Lord God, quicken to us places to return to, places of encounter. Now, Lord, he's coming. Holy Spirit's here. This is a divine moment we're doing, both by giving permission and honor and by the Spirit of God quickening us to our own journey. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now we ask you to go to those who've heard your voice before but have not held their course. They've shipwrecked on faith. They didn't know how to steer through the storm. They lost their place. They became overwhelmed with sorrow. They became overwhelmed with the pressure. They didn't know how to find the joy, and they've lost their place. We say now, Lord, come and quicken and make alive again like you did for the prodigal. Come, come, grant the gift of repentance, knowledge of truth. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Help me out. I know this is hard. I know the World Cup's going, but help me out. Let's stay in agreement just for a few more minutes. Let's let Jesus activate and quicken. Father God, we thank you for Maribel, Lord, and we just say, Lord, you have a horror future in your hands, and it is nothing for you to fully reprogram, restore, reconstruct, and resurrect her entire body. Lord, we thank you for everyone in this house that's facing any kind of illness, any kind of sickness, any kind of life-threatening sentence, even financial sentences and emotional sentences and physical. We say, Lord, come now. We need the miracle power of God. Come. Come and break forth, Holy Spirit, the miracle power of God. Come. Come into our midst. Come into our moment. Come into our journey. Come into our lives. Come into every place where death reigns. Let life come. Every place where sin has abounded, let grace come. Every place where fear has ruled, let love fill. Come, Lord. Every captivity and debts, let them be forgiven and let go. Now, Lord. 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 Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Go ahead. Yes.
Something just occurred to me as I was standing in the line there. There is a connection between what Larry has released in this church and the accident, the plan of the enemy by damaging his wife. There is a connection. I would ask you right now, are you angry for what Satan did to Mary Bell? Absolutely, we are. We know the story of when Jesus found out that Herod had killed his cousin. You know what Jesus did. He went out and healed.
Yes, he did.
That
yes,
was
he
his did. Retaliation.
Yes, he did.
And I believe that's what God yes. is saying to you.
Yes, he
Are
did.
You angry about what Satan has done to Mary Bell? I mean, we were fuming at what he did. But there is purpose in God's plan for that.
Yes. Yes.
And I just feel like I'm supposed to ask you to go out this afternoon because God will make a way. He will make a way for you to do this. Share Jesus with somebody.
Yes. Yes.
Believe for the healing for somebody.
Yes.
Give a word of revelation
yes.
to somebody.
Yes.
Bring somebody into the kingdom or bring them closer to Jesus today, and
yes.
you will have retaliated big time.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let's all stand up now. Stretch forth your hand and repeat after me. We Jubilee Church.
We Jubilee Church.
Send you out. You're pointing at these guys.
Send you out.
To do the works of Jesus Christ.
To do the works of Jesus Christ.
The greater one lives in you.
The greater one lives in you.
Be bold.
Be bold.
Be brave.
Be brave.
Be in love.
Be enough.
And go out and do everything.
Go out and do everything
that Jesus personally has told you to do.
That Jesus personally has told you to do.
If you haven't heard his voice,
if you haven't heard his voice,
look at his book.
Look at his book.
And do what his book says.
Do what his book says.
We commission you.
We commission you.
As Jesus was sent by the Father.
As Jesus was sent by the Father.
Jesus sends you.
Jesus sends you
to do exactly what Christ did himself.
To do exactly what Christ did himself.
Don't back off.
Don't back off.
Don't turn to the right or the left.
Don't turn to the right or the left.
But go for it.
Go for it.
You will lay hold of Jesus.
You will lay hold of Jesus.
For that which he lay hold of you.
For that which he lay hold of you.
So go out and do it.
Go out and do it.
We welcome the report.
We welcome the report.
We will see the miracles.
We will see the miracles.
We will see these nations touched.
We will see these nations touched.
And two by two.
And two by two.
You and we.
You and we.
Will go to every nation across the earth.
Go to every nation across the earth.
Fully funded.
Fully funded.
Fully anointed.
Fully anointed.
To do the works of Jesus.
To do the works of Jesus.
And only then.
And only then.
Will the end come.
Will the end come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want special prayer, this is the group to get it from.
Yeah.